And how did you, just to be, how did you go public with this idea for the run? What was your first step?
Made a Facebook page.
Made a Facebook page.
Facebook is life.
That's it. You know what? On Facebook is happening.
And I had quit Facebook as well.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
I've been all like, oh, I don't need a Facebook. And nothing changed, absolutely nothing changed. But I only had Facebook for myself, for my personal use. Now that I have Facebook in relation to the run, I realise actually the power of social media.
Yeah.
It can be such a force for good. And I hadn't realised it before because I'd never had to use it in that way.
Yeah.
And so when I got Facebook again to go public with the run, I was like, oh, I'm so reluctant to be back on Facebook. And now I'm like, I love Facebook.
I love Facebook. So it starts in September. Do you have a fundraising target for Ronald McDonald, or are you just rolling with it?
So I set it at £1 per mile, which I stole from Susie Pike, who did £1 per mile for her bike ride across Australia for the what she was fundraising for. So I said £1 per mile. And then a very kind person, who's a friend of mine, said, I will sponsor you £1 per mile.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, no, I meant with everything.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, no, that's fine. And so he's given me the full amount of £1 per mile. So I've now had the ability to adjust it, and it's now £2 per mile.
Yeah.
And rather than put pressure on myself to start out by saying £10 per mile and then feel like a failure, if we hit £2 per mile, I'll just adjust it higher.
Happy days.
So
it's starting in September. At what stage are you at? Talk to us about training and preparation, because I know you've been having a few backpack rubbing problems.
Yeah, so that thing where you have collarbones.
Damn them collarbones.
I know. I found this on my Wellington run at the end of my first day. There just wasn't skin on my collarbones left. And I was kind of like weeping in the arms of some B&B lady who just must have been so shocked. because I was like emotionally drained after my doing 25 miles on the first day. She got out some, like, pink microfiber cloths that I still have somewhere, dust cloth things. And so I just tucked those underneath where the backpack goes onto my collarbones. Just tucked them in there and just ran with, like, 80 shoulder pads for the whole run.
Happy days.
Sometimes they'd dislodge and I'd find a purple duster, like, up against the side of my face, just on its way out, tuck it back in. But, yeah, that's the main problem. I still have kind of, like, you've got
raw bits.
Yeah, just red marks. But I think that's just whatever.
All this stuff you don't find out unless you give it a crack. For example, my collarbones don't rub when I run. My biggest thing is my sports bras. No matter what sports bras I'm wearing, they cut holes in me.
Oh, really?
And so when you said to me, oh, what did you do for your collarbones rubbing? I was thinking, well, my collarbones don't rub. So it just goes to show that, like, we're all different and it's what works for you.
Yeah, definitely. A little bit of back stuff, like, skin off my lower back, but not too much.
You've got enough skin there anyway. Like, you know, who needs excess skin on their lower back?
Excess skin's for losers.
It is. And how about mileage? Like, what's your approach to obviously this is a very long run. It's a substantial run. What's your physical and mental approach to it?
So because I work a lot, I was trying to work on my work days, and then on my days off, I would go on a long run that I build up like a mile each time or something. And basically, if you want to do anything or see anyone or have a family or a life, you have to do that on your days off, especially if your work day, like my work day is 9 till 7.
Yeah.
So I'm not in a position at 7 o'clock to go and home and invite people for dinner, because I'm not going to get home until 8 or whatever.
Yeah, because you won't be there.
Exactly.
It's rubbish when someone invites you for dinner and you're not there.
They can order a pizza and then leave by the time I get back, but you know, in terms of there being any cooking expertise happening, I'm absent. So I finally hit upon a formula that works, is that I run on my work days, and then my days off are my days off from everything.
Yeah.
So not that I don't run on those days, but I don't consider those like training day. I'm not intensive about it, even if I do go for a run. So work is 9 miles away.
Yeah.
So I run, I do a variation of running to and from. It's 18 miles in a day. I'll do that a few days in a row. I've got a Boris bike account as well, so if I'm just like late waking up, I'll run the first bit, but then I'll cut off some time by taking a Boris bike and doing the last bit. So yeah, variation of that. Sometimes I just walk it just to stretch out my legs.
Yeah. So you're literally just running and walking everywhere. That's your training for it.
Yeah, I don't really, that was like quite a happy consequence as well. I don't really need to pay for much commuting for stuff, which saves money for the trip.
Brilliant.
It's probably about five, I'd say if I'm really lazy and I do a whole tube journey, which feels mega luxurious.
Yeah.
I get to like a tenner for commuting costs a week, but generally like a fiver.
And just before we move off the run to one more exciting thing I want to talk about, just talk about the route, because you said there are loads of different ways you can run home from Rome. How does one work out how to run home from Rome?
Well, thankfully, there's a route that's going to take me the majority of the way. It's called, and my pronunciation will definitely be wrong. It's called the Via Francigena.
Via, it sounds like a pizza. Yeah.
Exactly. And it means the route from France, even though it's actually not from France, it goes through France.
Yeah.
And it's the route that the Archbishops of Canterbury used to take. There's something called a pallium or something, and it's like, I don't know, if you go to uni, but then you get a PhD. Yeah. So, like, you're the Archbishop of Canterbury, no one's doubting that. But if you want your pallium, which is like this piece of material that goes around and makes you look like way more swanky, then you need to go to the Pope and get it.
Okay.
And so they would walk this route to go and see the Pope, and then they would walk back home. So they'd do the round trip. So I've kind of technically failed because I'm cheating the first half.
That's fine.
But it was first recorded in 990 by this archbishop called Sidric the Serious.
Oh.
So I'm going to have to...
Wasn't he a raccoon? Well, you know the raccoons, the cartoon? Sirius? And I'm thinking Sirius Black. That was Cyril Sneer, sorry, off track.
But all relevant.
All relevant.
All relevant Sirius. To Sidric the Serious. So he recorded it on his return journey, and it's that route that people follow.
So is it a waymarked route?
It is, but different countries kind of take more or less pride or care about how they look after it. I've got like a guidebook thing to the route anyway, which literally is like, now you walk 2K, now you take a left, there's a little baker's there. So I'll have to pay attention to that. I can't rely on just plodding along and waiting for things to jump into my path.
Yeah.
So it's and also in France you find less of the kind of freebie accommodation, pilgrim accommodation. You can just kind of rock up, knock on the church door and be like, hi, I'm just running, and they'll find you a sofa to sleep on or something.
So you're planning to camp a lot of this as well, because you're again running with your stuff on your back, so you're completely unsupported.
Yeah.
And are you nervous about that at all?
I'm not really nervous about the solo element of it. I'm kind of looking forward to it, although I know that there'll be points at which I won't have talked to anyone for a while and I'll feel lonely. But no, the idea of carrying it, no. I put extra stuff in my bag when I run to and from work. So yeah, so I do run with weight. Running with weight isn't an alien concept, although I'm aware it will probably weigh more.
Yeah.
But running with weight and running with a backpack.
Yeah.
That's how I run. I'd say 95% of the time that I run, I have a backpack on because I run to work. So that's fine. Yeah, the only thing that I find intimidating is things where... Because I hate going back on myself.
Yeah.
I hate going back. Like, if I ran to the bottom of the road and I'd forgotten to take my key or something, I'd hate that I'd have to run back up. I'd find a loop and I'd go around and then I'd come in, so I wouldn't have, like, covered the same ground. So I kind of hate the idea of just lost ground, lost mileage because I've been lost. And so because of that, I find the idea of the Alps is going to be quite intimidating.
Yeah.
Because if I lose my pathway there... And I'm just lost.
So what's your strategy for... Obviously, there's going to be some days when there's pretty dark days. So I had my, like, pants of perspective, which you are actually wearing at the moment. Not my pants, your very own pants of perspective, the unicorn and the robot and the rainbow. What's going to be your strategy for the days when things just go wrong?
I think I'm fairly strong mentally. I've always had this need to know in the back of my mind, just because of growing up around someone with mental illness who didn't have that coping mechanism. And the idea of having a mental illness is one of the things I find scariest in life. And so in order for me, as a youngster, to kind of reiterate to myself that I wasn't suffering from mental illness was the ability to cope in situations that were difficult.
Yeah.
Through nothing apart from just going through my thought process, being logical about my thought process, and going, yes, this seems rubbish, but it will not be rubbish for much longer.
Yeah.
Just because that's how time works, that's how emotions work. Everything is better in time. And I can usually make it better.
Yeah.
So I'm not like, I'm not religious, so I don't, it's not, I don't need something else. I haven't got a fallback system, and it's important for me to not have a fallback system.
Yeah.
Because if that fallback system ever disappears, then I'll be abandoned.
Yeah.
So I've always been quite pragmatic in terms of needing to know that no matter what happens, I will always come out okay at the other end.
Yeah.
And I always have done. So that thought process has never let me down.
Which is the reality of it. Things will... I remember when I did the first bike trip, there was this horrible pass, and I thought, well, things are always different in a mile time. Like, they might be better, they might be worse, but they'll be different.
Yeah.
And that sounds like the same thing.
Yeah.
Now, I want to just go on before we finish. So running has obviously changed your life, or, you know, finding yourself and the joy through running, but it's also brought something about which you're equally as passionate about, which is writing.
Yes.
And you write fantastically. I absolutely love your writing. I like snort out my Diet Coke when I'm reading your writing. How has this finding running helped your writing?
Well, I've always wanted to be a writer, but I guess it's something to do with recognising your capabilities. And something like taking up being a complete fat pie sofa lover, etc., and then becoming a runner is one of those things that kind of, it starts a thought process that says, oh, you can do things, like you're capable of things. And you spend so long, not purposefully, people don't do it purposefully, but the undercurrent of what many people are saying when they talk to you is that you're not capable of things. Every time you go for a job and you don't get it, you feel less capable, you feel less good about yourself. Every time you get sacked, or every time you, you try and jump high, or you try and finish a book and you can't, or anything that you do that you don't complete, it compounds this idea in your mind that as you get older, you're less capable of things, you can't do those things, you could never do those things.
Yeah.
And when you take on something completely new that's completely alien, it doesn't make any sense, it didn't make any sense that I took up running, I'm not a runner or whatever. And I am now. I think it opens your mind to other possibilities. So I've always wanted to be a writer, but I've wanted to do it since I was a child.
Yeah.
So for me, saying to other people that I wanted to be a writer felt to me like a childish thing to say,
yeah,
because it's what I wanted to do when I was a child.
Yeah.
And then it kind of set in and I was like, well, no, wanting to be a writer isn't childish, because all the stuff that you read anywhere has been written by someone who's a writer.
Yeah.
It's a grown-up job. It's fine.
Yeah.
And it is a job. You can make it a job. And it just, I guess the thought pattern kicked in because I was running. And it very much, when I came back from the Wellington run, that was very much the point at which I decided to go public and say, I want to be a writer. But yeah, I find it difficult to imagine the one without the other. It's important for me at a stage where I don't need to make money from it,
yeah,
that I choose who I involve myself with, because I have pride to be involved with them.
Yeah.
So I've kind of got the luxury of not just needing to grab anything,
yeah,
because I have full-time work. And I think at some point that the portfolio that I build off the back of that will kind of do good things. But I very much kind of come back off a run ready to write.
And mm-hmm. The final question. So obviously you said 18 months ago you were, and your blog handle or your Twitter handle, Lazy Laura Maisie.
Yes, it is.
You were Lazy Laura Maisie back then.
Yeah.
What advice do you have for people who are sat there on the couch / doing a job they perhaps don't enjoy, or just feeling like they maybe possibly could do something, but they're not quite sure? What would you go back and tell yourself back then and them now?
Let yourself be encouraged. Let people say to you, well, why don't you contemplate that other thing that you want to do with your life? I think your initial reaction is to say, well, of course you would do that. You are that type of person. You are an adventurer. You are going to run from Rome to London. Of course you are. You're like that. But I really like that because I allowed other people who said kind of encouraging things, or not even that people encourage me off their own backs, but I kind of aired an idea in a nervous way and it was met with total positivity. And I think your inclination when people do that is to say, yeah, no, but not, I'm not really going to do it, because you need to keep doing the normal things like make money and go to work and pay your rent. I'm not actually going to embark upon a different road that makes me stand out from other people. But people, There will be someone in your life who will be saying things like, well, there's no reason why you can't do that. Of course you can do that. Why don't you think about it? Why don't you give yourself space to think about doing something different? Don't resist that. Let people encourage you.
Yeah.
Like, think how awesome it would be if the idea that you've got in your mind now, that you've never told anyone because you think it sounds stupid or whatever, imagine if you told someone and their initial reaction was like, that's a great idea. Imagine if you went to an atmosphere where all people did was encourage you because that idea sounded great. Like, it doesn't sound like a real thing that can really happen, but there are places where you can find that place and go and air your idea and let people encourage you. I think it's really important, because you can very rarely do stuff like this in a vacuum.
Yeah,
you need other people, you
need the support.
Yeah.
Well, no longer Lazy Laura Maisie, thank you very much for your chat and sharing today.
No problem.
And you need to go do some running, I guess.
I think so.